Welcome to the Light Your Heart with Hope podcast. I'm Erin, and I'm so thankful you're here. I can't believe we're starting season two. God worked in incredible ways through the stories of hope that were shared in season one, and I can't wait to share more with you. Today, I want to share Christina's story. It's one of unwavering love and devotion to God in the midst of heartbreak and loss. It's a picture of trusting in the goodness of God, even when the circumstances appear to be anything but good. It's a testimony of how the short life of a little boy named Judson left a lifelong legacy of faith and hope. It's a story of an unlikely miracle and an unexpected gift.
Drake and I, we were college sweethearts. We met in college. It was get your roommate a date. And he was actually the date of the person across the hall from me. But we hit it off that day. We dated for several years in college. And then right after I graduated, we got married. And what's interesting is when we first got married, we had imagined a family of a good number of kids. And, you know, we'd start our family fairly quickly after getting married. And our trajectory changed a little bit when soon after we were married, I was diagnosed with a disorder that affects fertility. And at that time we had thought, well, you know what, we'll just continue our professional careers. And we were both working in higher education at the time. And so we thought, you know what, we just kind of started that path. And over time, it had been actually 9 years and we had not had children. We never had pursued fertility treatment, but we had thought it would be a gift at some point to have kids. But if it wasn't in our trajectory, if it wasn't what God had for us, then we would kind of just continue with our professional lives. So it was a little surprising 9 years into marriage when I discovered that I was pregnant. And we had no idea. It was such a surprise that I wasn't feeling good. And my friend said to me, is there any chance you're pregnant? And I was like, no, not a chance. I had totally written it off. There wasn't a chance that that could be the case. But sure enough, I took a pregnancy test and there we were, pregnant. The most incredible joy that one can experience. Any parent knows that. Just this profound sense of life growing inside of me. But I also remember at that time, and I even journaled about this, feeling like suddenly I was vulnerable to the loss of something I love so much. Already this child that was developing in my womb, I knew that if I miscarried or something like that, it would just feel devastating. So very early on, I was aware of this sense that life is fragile and that I was vulnerable because I already loved this baby so much that I hadn't even met. So fast forward, I did have a little bit of a challenging pregnancy. A couple of times we thought we had actually lost our baby, and we didn't know what we were having. So then when he finally arrived, Judson Drake Levishek, he came on Christmas Eve. We came home with him from the hospital the very next day, and we set him under our Christmas tree as the most incredible gift that anybody could have been given, and it was on Christmas Day. Here we were. It felt like out of nowhere, God had just given us this amazing gift. And, you know, that proved to be very true, but in a lot of ways, in ways we wouldn't have imagined or expected. So Judd then developed he had an Apgar score of 10. He developed as your healthy, vibrant baby, and then continued developing. And what we noted when Judd was around one is that he seemed to be, and I'm going to sound like a proud mom, but I'm just going to own it because we're all proud parents, right? But he seemed to be particularly articulate, even around the age of one. I remember at 10 months, he was saying the word balloon. And I was like, what is that? Is he really saying balloon? And then he pointed a balloon. And I'm like, okay, no, he's really saying, and it didn't sound like balloon. It was like balloon, but it was enough where I was like, oh, there's something happening here. He's talking about a balloon. And so we started to see that he was just very, again, proud mom, very bright. He was able to remember things really well. I remember at the age of 18 months, he was counting to 10 with me. And then he was also very drawn to music. And so we did a lot of music with him. And so he would memorize these words to songs that were profound, that had depth to them. I mean, we were singing hymns with him. We were singing praise songs, and he had just a memory to remember them. And I have proof. I will say I have proof, because on video, you can see that Judd was very articulate and he had this incredible memory. So the amazing thing is we got to start to see his heart at a very young age. And he, when he was 18 or 19 months old, his sister was born, Jessie, and he had just this profound love for her. He was always looking out for her. I remember he was trying to teach her things. Like, she was probably 2 months old and he's handing her one of his little trucks and saying, "Can you say Chevy Blazer, Jessie?" And he's, you know, so he was really engaging with her. And we saw also just a tenderness in him. And what I would say is a sensitivity, and this sounds strange because, again, he's worth now talking about a two-year-old, but he had a sensitivity to the things of God. We would read him his toddler Bible, and he loved the stories in that Bible. He had many of them memorized. And what was fascinating, and we didn't know it at the time, is that he was really drawn to the story of Job. In his toddler Bible, there was a story, and the story of Job was in there, and it said, "One day a man ran to Job and said, 'Your children and animals have died,' he said. 'But did Job get angry at God?' 'No, God gave me all I had,' said Job, 'so I will still love him.'" And we remember that Judd would ask us to read that story to him over and over and over again. He absolutely had it memorized. Now, we remember being very perplexed by this. Like, why would our two-year-old son be drawn to this story? He was also drawn to the story of the loaves and the fishes. But this one in particular, he would have us read to him over and over again. So he loved the story of Job. And then what was heart-wrenching and yet profound is that when Judd was 29 months old, he began to struggle in his body in ways that we couldn't understand what was happening. We had noted that Judd began stumbling. And at first, I didn't think too much of it. I thought, oh, he's growing, you know, the body does strange things. But then I noticed that it was happening regularly. So I took Judd into the doctor, and the doctor said, it's probably nothing to worry about. He's probably got some inner ear thing that's going on and it's just causing him to stumble. And then I remember it was probably 2 days later after seeing that doctor, I went to hand Judson his vitamin C tablet. And when I went to hand it to him, he overreached for it and then he underreached for it. If you can imagine, it's like he knew that he was trying to find something, but he couldn't see it. And I just remember in that moment going, something's wrong with his eyesight. And so then I took Judson into the doctor the very next day after that. And I remember the doctor saying, there's likely something seriously wrong here. And so we need to order an MRI. And my heart sank, but it's a part of me couldn't fathom it. Like, how could this be possible that my vibrant two-year-old son, who seems so healthy and articulate and beautiful, if I can say so, how could there be something wrong here? And so I remember they rushed him into an emergency MRI. And when you do an emergency MRI and it's the very next morning, you know that they're very concerned. And I remember laying against the wall of the hospital and just saying, God, if there is something seriously wrong here, I'm going to need you to show up. I'm going to need you to show me who you are. So they had thought at the time he probably had a brain tumor. And so when they came out of the MRI and there was no brain tumor, we were all just so celebratory thinking, oh my gosh, what could be worse than cancer? If there's no brain tumor, then I'm sure he'll be fine. Maybe he'll have some issues, but I'm sure he'll be fine. And so we were so relieved that day. And yet, when they ended up reading his MRI, they're like, there might be something wrong with the white matter of the brain, not sure. But they basically sent us home saying, I think it's going to be okay. And then I remember his the progression of the disease was rapid. So like another two days later, I was like, he's not seeing well at all. Like, I feel like he's practically blind. And then he was not stable on his, I mean, it just felt like everything was getting worse so fast. And so I remember going to another doctor and saying, I don't think you guys have the correct diagnosis. We're seeing a rapid change in his system. And so that sent us on the trajectory of trying to figure out what was going on with him, and several more tests and everything. And then I remember one day they had said to us, we need to have a meeting with like five doctors. And they sat us down in a room, and I had done enough research on the internet at that point that I knew going into this meeting, the only thing I didn't want them to say was leukodystrophy. I felt like everything else would be something that we could overcome, something that we could handle, so to speak, something that would just leave him maybe potentially disabled, but still very much able to have a thriving life. So I just remember walking into this meeting with these five doctors and thinking, I just don't want to hear leukodystrophy. And we sat down. I remember this laminate table. We sat down. They had a projector with all sorts of information up on a screen and all of these doctors. And just sitting in my lap, just as cute as ever, with his little truck that he's driving all over the laminate table. And I look up and I look on that page and my eyes scanning it. And all of a sudden, I see the word leukodystrophy. And it's like I knew my world had just fallen apart. Seeing that word on the screen, they hadn't said anything to me, but my heart sank. At that time, they thought it was a different leukodystrophy than what Judd actually had, but indeed Judd had Prebay leukodystrophy. And I remember the doctor saying to us, this is not going to get better. It is only going to get worse. And she probably repeated that maybe five times. I remember Drake turning to her and saying, science tells us that, but we serve a mighty, mighty God. And he can do anything. And then that set us on this path of just beseeching God to heal our son and to intervene and to reshape the genes in his body. Because if you don't know, even though this disease didn't show up until Judd was 29 months old, it was a genetic disease. It was in his very genes. And so basically we were asking God to re-knit the cells of our son, to do an intervention that truly could only be from him. So we just began to ask God to heal him. And that was a huge part of our story with Judd. And he, meanwhile, was deteriorating rapidly. We could see the deterioration in his body from day to day. So I remember one day he was playing with a puzzle that he had played with regularly. And then he was trying to get the pieces into the spot. And he says to me, Mommy, my hands are too tired. And he just couldn't do what he had just been able to do the day before. And I remember also a day where he had been completely blind at this point. And he says to me, Mommy, is it day or night? I can't tell anymore. And it showed me that he was living in complete darkness. I know with a lot of blindness, you have residual light that you can see, but he had gone completely dark. He didn't know day or night anymore. Much of this time, as you can tell, he was still articulate. He was still able to speak his heart to us. We were still able to communicate with him. So we had a sense of what was going on in his soul. He was trying to obviously sort out what was happening to him. I remember he had this profound moment where Jessie was starting to walk and all of a sudden we're clapping for her and we're praising her. And mind you, he's blind. And so he says, wait, Mommy, is Jessie walking? And it was this moment where you could tell it was very sobering to him because he could no longer walk at all. And we're cheering and praising her for walking. And he's having, you could just tell he was trying to process, why am I no longer able to walk? And yet my sister is, and she's younger than me. And so there's just a lot of these moments of just your heart being torn out as a parent, where you feel such powerlessness and you would do anything to change the trajectory for your child. And yet you, here you are just walking this path of deep suffering. And Judd then, over time, he became completely paralyzed. So he couldn't move his body at all, to the point where he couldn't hold up his head either. So his whole body, in that way, he had lost everything. And then he became completely blind, as I shared, to the point of, I think, living in complete darkness. There wasn't even residual light. But then I think what was especially heartbreaking for me as a mother is I think I had taken such pride in his ability to communicate and his ability to speak. And he fairly quit. Well, maybe a couple months in, he started to lose his ability to communicate. He went mute. You could see his efforts. He would try to open his mouth and you could see his efforts to try to speak. He could hardly even make sounds. So I remember we would ask him to say yes or no by sticking out his tongue. So obviously just profound brokenness as his parents and profound devastation. But meanwhile, we were praying for God still to do a miracle. And then 5 months to the day that we had gone to that initial doctor, Judson actually passed away. We had taken this, what seemed to be a completely healthy, vibrant boy. And in 5 months, he had lost everything to where the point where his critical functions shut down. And he died in my arms on November 7th, 2007. As a parent, you can't even communicate the depths of pain and brokenness. But I think what was also incredibly difficult for us is that we were also wrestling with God. We were trying to understand what in the world he was up to. He gave us this incredible boy. We didn't even think we were going to have kids. So it was this surprise gift that we were given. And we're sitting here going, how, God, could this possibly be your story for him? How could this possibly be what you intended for this little life? And I remember a profound moment at our dinner table when Judd had reached out to grab his sippy cup and he couldn't, it was literally right in front of him, but he couldn't see it. So he was trying to find it and he's like, where's my sippy cup? Where's my sippy cup? And Drake burst into tears. Judd's like, Daddy, why are you crying? And Drake says, I'm crying, Judd, because I'm sad. I don't know what's going on with you. And he immediately in that moment started to quote the story of Job to Drake from his toddler Bible. And he says, you know, one day a man ran to Job and said, your children and animals have died, he said. But did Job get angry at God? No. God gave me all I had, said Job, and I will still love him. And I remember it was this profound moment. I have chills even now. Because both Drake and I, in a sense, had our jaws drop, thinking, what is happening right now? Our son is quoting truth to us as Drake's crying. And the profound truth was, did Job get angry at God? No. God gave me all I had, said Job, and I will still love him. And that has been an anchor for me. I go back to that regularly, and I think about, God gave me all I had. God gave me Judson. He's this incredible gift. I don't fully understand his ways. I don't understand what he's doing, but I can trust that this is a profound gift. And then the penetrating truth is, will you get angry at God? No, I will still love him. Now, I will say, I've gotten angry with God, believe you me. We've had our battles, we've wrestled. But the reality is, I think I've always come with this profound understanding that I don't get it. I don't know. I don't understand. But I do know in every part of my being that Judson is an incredible gift. And he's even a gift now, 14 years after losing him. God has used him so much in my life to shape my understanding of the truth, to understand God's love as a parent. I mean, I could just go on and on about the profound truths, but the reality is, as I've wrestled with God and I've taken these struggles to him, and I'm talking about real wrestling. I mean, this is like, where are you? What are you doing? I don't understand you. I mean, this is the profound questions of life. Why is suffering a part of your plan? I mean, all of these questions. You see in the Psalms this lament, this struggle, this ability to articulate all the things that are going on in the soul of deep emotion, where the psalmist is saying, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? I don't know what you're doing. And that's pervasive in the Psalms. I think most of the Psalms are lament. But we see that in the Psalms, the heart turns itself to a place of trust, or I would say even God moves to turn the heart to a place of trust. And so there's this ability to have real relationship with God where you can articulate all the struggle and all the challenge, but you can also go, but I trust you and I love you and I know you love me. And I think those are hard truths to sit with when you're sitting in deep, deep pain. But I think the more that we bring the real stuff in us to God, I think the tendency is to run away from him, to go, I don't want you because I'm feeling this pain. The tendency is to run away with those struggles and the anger and all of those things. But I think when we bring those to him, when we make those our actual offering to him, I think he uses them to show us that he is a God that loves us. He is a God that cares for us. He is a God that's good. And, you know, we can talk about God's goodness even in the midst of these stories of horrific struggle. But I think that the wrestling that we have in our soul when we say, you know, is God good? I think we might have some paradigm shifts that have to happen in our soul. I feel like there were so many times in this journey where God has had to reorder my understanding of different parts of his character because I misunderstood what that meant. Like, does God's goodness mean that I'll have a smooth, hunky-dory life? No. But I think if I may not have had it articulated that way, but I think in the core of my soul, I probably believed that a little bit before Judd started to struggle. But the reality is that the goodness of God is that he moves us toward himself, that he uses anything to draw us to himself, that he is our life, he is our breath, he is everything, and that he can take what is ugly and awful and yucky, and he can use it to redeem us, to redeem and restore. I know if somebody hasn't tasted of God, that probably sounds like really. And I can testify that God has used the mess, the struggle, the challenge to draw me to himself, to show me his love, to reveal his faithfulness. And it's profound. And I think the other thing I will mention is that we have real hope. It's not some just hot pie in the sky hope that something. I live every day, every single day of my life, aware that Judson is more alive than you and I are. He is more whole. He is filled. He is everything that we long for, and that I get to join my Savior. And then in joining my Savior in eternity, I will get to be reunited with my son. And that is not just some trumped up, like, I hope that's true. I know it in the very fabric of my being that Judd is alive. And I knew at the moment I lost him, I knew that that was not it, that there was so much more for his soul, that God was at work and he had just met his Savior face to face, whom he loved and been restored. And so I live every day with the confidence that this isn't all there is. And I think we can easily be tied to this world And I think one of the things that pain does is it separates us from this world. It reminds us that this isn't all it's chalked up to. There's something more. We're made for something more. It's in us. It's in our very souls. We're made for more. And I live every day in not only that hope, but the joy of that hope, the joy that there is much to come that I have yet to even taste of. And that gives me an ability to live in today with purpose, with an understanding that there's far more than I can see. And I want to be part of that world. I want to live today as part of that world. And so I love my son so much. And I think as somebody who's grieving, and I will always say I'm grieving because I think I'm living in a life of grief, I will just testify that I wouldn't change a minute. I am so grateful for my little boy and just the impact that he's had on my life and continues to have on my life and the lives of many other people. I'm just very thankful for him and for what God's done through him.
What if God uses the most unlikely miracle to move our heart closer to his heart? What if the unexpected gift comes with unexpected grace? Maybe, like Christina, you're praying for a miracle. And perhaps the answer to your prayer looks more like a mess than a miracle. But what if it's exactly what God intends for his glory and your good? What if the gift of grace is wrapped in that unlikely miracle? To learn more about Christina's story, check out the link in the show notes. Tune in Friday for our Immeasurably More mini message, where my mom and I will be expanding on how we've seen and experienced unlikely miracles in our own lives, the power of God in what seems impossible, and the unexpected gifts that can be found in the midst of our circumstances. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that Christina's story and Judson's life encourage you to share your own story. You matter, your life matters, and your story can make an impact that matters for eternity. Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.